Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How quickly did you bed in with that group of players? Because the defence, Arsenal at that time, stuff of legends. I remember chatting to some of my mates at work who were like, oh yeah, if Arsenal went 1-0 up then, that was it, you know, because you're never going to get through that defence. How quickly did you surround yourself by these great names like Tony Adams, Martin Keown, Winterburn? You obviously knew Steve Bould already because you'd come down with him, hadn't you?
Yeah, well, he signed 6 months after me, but it was a very quick learning curve to actually bed into the way that Arsenal played at the time. And George was very strict. There was a way of playing. It was completely alien to me because I was a fullback that showed, I was pretty quick. And as a fullback that showed a winger down the line, because that's why I was being educated. And then all of a sudden, George, on the first day of training, it was at the indoor training centre at Highbury. And it was freezing cold because I signed in the February. So it was like cold outside. We couldn't train because the pitches were frozen. Go inside and we do this like little session, and they kept shouting in to me, in his Scottish voice. I go to sleep sometimes at night having nightmares about him shouting at me, still to this day, because he was going in, and I was going, in what? Why are you saying that? So I said to Dave Rocastle, bless him, who again is not with us, and I said to him, what's he keep saying in for? What's that? I don't know what that means. And he went, oh, it's inside. You have to show everybody inside so you don't get beat down the outside. So me playing on the right, I could not let anyone go down the wing. I had to show him inside the middle of the pitch because that's how we played. It was where our strength was. Don't get beat on the outside. Show everybody inside. And I was like, and it was so alien to me to try and do that, because it was just natural to go show him down the line. No, and he used to basically fine you if you got beat down the outside. He said, right, I'm going to fine. Do not let people get crosses in. You show him inside. It was like, and then he'd metaphorically whack you with a stick if you didn't do what he said. And that's his way of coaching. Mm. But his coaching sessions on the pitch were so intense, and you had to pick it up quickly. It's a little bit like, and I'm married to a beautiful lady in my life now called Yolanda, who's a dancer, and she can relate to that picking up. It's like picking up steps, and I can't dance to save my life, but you know, a choreographer, here's your steps and you have to learn it straight away, and if you don't, you're out. And it was basically George Graham's choreography was show inside, press the ball. There was triggers to go and press the ball. You had to learn them. It was a little bit like NFL playbook. This is what happens when the ball's there, you're there, you do. It's very regimented. And if you didn't learn it, you know, unlike my dancing, I'm quite quick at learning patterns on a football pitch. And I guess that's why I then go on to do what I do now, which is talking about those patterns and trying to not teach. I hate that word, like teach people.
It is type of teaching.
But it's only what I know. Mm. So it's not gospel, and there's loads of different ways of doing it.
And it's your interpretation of it.
Correct.
But,
but it's like the ability to show you or what I know that's in my head when I see a pattern. I go, I would do this. This is what I think you should do. I had success doing it this way. Then if somebody understands that at home and a light bulb goes off and goes, oh, I get that now, why that player might have done that or something. I guess that's what I learned under George. It was understanding them, that pattern on the pitch. So
And the discipline that he brought, presumably, correct. Just like impose. Oh yeah, you see, that facial expression says it all, because it's like you still remember that discipline even now.
Yeah,
but it's now ingrained in you because of it.
You see,
which is a good thing, you know. Like,
yeah, and patterns. It is ingrained, and I miss a little bit that in my life now, and I mean that because I was with him 2 weeks ago at the Tottenham game, and we did a charity box. 15 people, you know, paid money to charity to watch a game with me and George Graham, and I hosted it, and George was the jewel in the crown, because I knew, even at, you know, he's 70 odd, even at now, he's so passionate about the game, and he recognises the game's moved on, and he's a bit old school, but the game hasn't changed, and it's about how many you put in one end and how many you keep out at the other. That'll never change. And until you do both reasonably well, you won't win anything. You can, Man City are brilliant going forward, Liverpool are brilliant going forward, but they still both know what to do without the ball. And his big thing was get that balance right. And he was a little bit more the defensive side, make sure you don't give anything away, and then nick one at the other end, 1-0 to the Arsenal. Yeah. Arsene is the complete flip of that. He's attacking, great-looking football, brilliant, open, freestyle, gunplay type, but he couldn't coach a back four as long as he's got two ears and a nose.
So, but how difficult was that then for you to adjust to that style of management?
Easiest thing ever, because
he left you to your own devices.
Yeah, because when he's a hugely intelligent man, Arsene, and came in and went, why? He knew us anyway before. He always tells a story. He says, I knew you lot, you know, because he's a football nutcase. He watches videos. He'll watch videos of Arsenal for years and years. So when he came from Grand Passet, he knew all about us. He said to me, I'm a bit surprised that you're actually a better footballer than I thought. I thought you were just like, you know,
brick wall.
Yeah, a load of grow bags at the back going, like, just winning the ball.
I heard he actually said you're better looking in the flesh as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you're testament to that. I can see you looking at me now going, no, he's wrong.
I tell you what, though, growing up, I was bloody scared of the back four at Arsenal. Keown and Tony Adams, they were...
They're scary, aren't they?
Whoa!
Yeah. Nigel Winterburn as well. Not a looker.
Lovely. No. In the Pink is sponsored by Tag Heuer. Swiss avant-garde since 1860. Excellence, precision and elegance. Their timepieces are designed for those who love challenges. Make sure you run like clockwork and never miss a thing.
Back to Arsenal, back to your education on the football pitch. I see what I did there. Nice little segue. But you grew up at Arsenal, really, didn't you?
Yeah.
Because you were kind of wet behind the ears. I know you were 23 when you got there, which... You know, by massively. Today's standards, is quite old, but you're still young. You know, you're still naive.
Absolutely. I mean, when I look back, and I have this argument, I say, discussion with my kids now and again, and about 4 or 5 years ago, my son's 31 now. He's a strength and conditioning coach for the FA. Works with the Lionesses.
That's
and
amazing.
Some of the. Yeah, he's brilliant. Never he retired when he was 10 from football, because he just went, don't want to play anymore because. Don't really like football, and I just get put under a load of pressure because people come and watch and they go, are you Lee Dixon's son? Oh, you're not very good, are you? Or, you know, well, you should be better than this. Why are you not playing right back? And why? And he just went, I'm not playing anymore. So, which is really sad. And I, at the time, I didn't want to push him. I didn't want to go, forget all that. You know, you've got the drive. Because it's unfair, and I don't think he was talented enough anyway to have the strength to go through that. So I said, as long as you play sports and do other sports, that's fine. You just got to play sports. Sports really important in my life, and I believe it's the best thing for you. And he went, and he played all the sports. Da, da, da. And then when he was 18, he started playing at university again and loved football again, fell in love with it, did a sports science degree, and then got into the fitness side of football and loves it. And he's massively passionate about his job. And he's really good at it, and he's educated me on the new style of fitness and all the new stuff that's going on now, which is great for me because when I go on TV, you know, I don't want to be the dinosaur that's always going, oh, in my day, so I've got that because I lived it, but I've also got the, in my day we did this, but now they're doing that, you know, because I'm not in the dressing room, so I've got the best, I'm in his dressing room and listening to what he comes out of that. So I've,
How amazing for your son to educate yeah. you. And, you know, it's come full circle.
I always say it's wrong, but deeply I'm taking it all in.
But it's great that
in,
he's helping keep you relevant in that respect.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's, you know, some of the stuff he's coming out with and talking about, I'm like, wow, God, I'd have been so much a better player if I could have done that. Because there's loads of stuff that, you know, to be fair, I hit Arsene Wenger at the perfect time because I was 32 when he came. Mm. And I was just sort of starting to go, oh, a bit niggly, my knees a bit, this is that. And he came in and revolutionised English football in the way that we ate, trained, stretched. And it was kind of like, wow. And he said, look, if you do this, you know, you'll play for... George, to be fair to him, said, I'll find a way of playing that makes my back four play till they're all 35. And I played till I was 38. So there was a bit of George Graham in there, and there was also a bit of Arsene coming in and giving me new techniques to keep my body going. Because the brain... When Arsene came, we won the double in 98. I literally could play the game with my eyes closed. It was I'd got all that experience from George, knew how to defend. I got my three mates alongside me who were almost unbeatable. Dave Seaman behind me, almost unbeatable unless the ball went over his head from somebody, me.
Your own goal against Coventry.
Ronaldinho.
Listen.
Naeem.
I tell you what, that was a cracking goal.
Thanks.
It's just a shame it was into your own net.
Yeah, well, the anniversary was the other week, so you probably saw it on YouTube. I always tell people, they always take the mickey out on Twitter, oh, yeah, I've seen your goal. I said, keep watching it because I get a pound every time someone watches that video. Obviously don't, but people go, really? So they think I get royalties for that goal, so I can keep watching it, it's great. Arsene hit me at the perfect time, and a 98 double. The game was so easy, it was embarrassing. I was like, all right, I know, I get the ball, right, okay. Got my mates alongside me, we're not going to concede any goals. And then when I look up and I've got the ball, and Arsene's going, just go and play, you know, none of that restriction. Go and play. And I look up and I've got Patrick Vieira coming short in midfield, and then I've got Dennis Bergkamp waving at me, going, give it to my feet. And then I've got Ray Parlour outside me running straight down the line. And then I've got the second striker, Wrighty might be there. Or Thierry Henry might
be. What a team.
You could have played right back. It was so easy. And I played my best football at that moment, 98 to 2002 was double winning side as well. But Lauren had just started taking over and I retired in 2002. I was 38 and I was tired. My knee was gone and I was kind of... But from 98 to sort of 2000, those 2 years... The game was absolutely the easiest I've ever known it.
What a time to be alive. Do you know what? I think you've answered my next question, because there must have been at some point a sense that, I don't want to say professional jealousy, but a sense that, God, if only you'd played in the modern era, you'd have earned so much more money and you'd be kicking back and, you know, living a life.
And not doing podcasts.
And not doing... shut up. This is for the love of conversation.
Absolutely, yeah.
But seriously, there must be part of you that's like, I can't believe the sort of money these kids are on these days. Yeah. But what you've just described, you can't put a price tag on that. I mean, I can't think you would get that level of passion and love for the game from many people in 2019. It feels more inhibited now. Yeah. It's just a different game, isn't it?
No, absolutely. And I think... I get asked this a lot, and people go, oh, bet you wish you'd play now because of the money. And I go, yeah, it'd be great. And I'll tell you a funny story in a second. But the money side of things is you can always look elsewhere and be envious. And all the guys who played in 70s and will be looking at us going, lucky. Because I had a lovely, lovely living out of playing football for Arsenal. But the memory side of it far outweighs that. Now, I think it's flipped the other way. The money side of it outweighs the memories. Some people, the guys who are winning stuff, will say differently. You know, the Liverpool and Man City's and that, but they still get in the money as well. Mm. But I would not swap one day to play now, not one single day, because I had a decent living, but I had the best. We were free. we could go down to the Bank of Friendship and have a game of darts with the locals on a Tuesday after training.
This is Tuesday Club?
Tuesday Club. It might be a Wednesday as well. No, I'm joking. The Tuesday Club...
But this was a boozy kind of boys club thing that you just would never be able to get away with these days.
Correct. And it's also been massively exaggerated over the years that we every Tuesday we went out and run riot around London and did this, that. Not the case. Once a month, maybe, if that, once every 5 weeks, we'd go, if we had a weekend, a week off, we'd go for a game of darts with a few locals, a few pints of Guinness, go down TGI Fridays in Covent Garden, have some ribs or whatever, and then some of the lads would go out, and it's been well documented about who the ones that went out. Tony Adams, obviously in his book, he tells stories about those Tuesdays, but it wasn't, it was exaggerated. And but you could go out, team spirit, you could do that. You could also mix with the fans after the game, you know, be signing autographs outside the ground, stuff like that. That when you look back on it, I love those moments because I was that kid asking for the autograph. There's no access to players anymore. You know, the access that they get now is from a distance, and it's on Twitter and it's... And, you know, social media has its place, but, I mean, if I was playing now, I wouldn't be on social media at all, because it's distracting, it's intrusive, it's a great tool to use for lots of positives. But from a player's point of view, if I said, I think there's too many negatives to it, my concentration needed to be, certainly from my point of view, because I wasn't the most skillful player in the world with my feet, but my head and how I played the game was...
And you read the game.
But I had to work very hard at that, and I had to work very hard at my fitness and be... And so I don't want that distraction.
In the Pink is sponsored by Bose. Treat your ears and your senses with the Bose Noise Cancelling 700 series. Their unrivaled noise cancelling technology means you'll hear and be heard like never before. And touch and voice recognition means you're free to keep your head up and you'll never miss a thing.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.